Dennis, and thank you, Carol. I might need a clicker, John. Right before we came to Robbo, my family was privileged to have a bit over 3 years in California. I'm living in the world-famous Napa Valley. This is a picture right out the back of our town. I used to play pickleball, actually, in a park with exactly that view, not bad. And so we lived in this tiny town in the middle of hundreds of thousands of acres of vineyards. In fact, I think just the first vineyard down the road from us, the first, I don't know if it's a paddock, but the first field was over 1,000 acres of vines just belonging to one grower. And the town literally lived and breathed winemaking during crush, which is the harvest season. You can literally smell the sugary grape juice on the morning cool air. It's amazing. You can also kind of smell what they call the grape must, which is the semi-rotting skins and stuff. But that's all how you get the wine as well. But vineyards don't always look like big and green. This is actually vineyards right before, right at the end of winter. Over winter, after the grapes are finished, the vines turn brown, or the leaves turn brown, and then they all fall off, and then the workers prune back the vines until there's nothing but the very oldest growth. And over winter, the vines lay dormant. Until just about this time of year, there's two signs. One is this yellow stuff called mustards, and then the second sign is this bud break, when the buds finally break out, this magical time when the vines begin their transformation from bare brown branches into leafy green vines. And by the end of summer, they're bejeweled with clusters of deep blue fruit. And of course, that precious fruit becomes the wines that make the Napa Valley so famous. Bud break is the beginning of the season of growth. And it's an apt image to keep in mind as we think about our vision for Robertson Burrowing Anglican Church today. Because I truly believe that we're at the beginning of a season of growth. So why don't we ask God to speak into our hearts now as we open the Bible and as we explore God's vision for the church. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we know that you are in control of all things. And so we ask you to give us wisdom and guidance and insight as we plan for the future of your church here in Robertson and Burrowing. Teach us from your word as we seek you now. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm excited to have everybody for Vision Sunday. A number of years ago, I heard a quote about vision that has stuck with me ever since. It said this, it says, "Vision is a picture of the future that inspires passion." So vision, it's all about dreaming, or all about imagining a future reality. A dreaming dreams about what might be and painting a picture of the possible. Vision Sunday is all about imagining the future reality of Robertson Burrowing Anglican Church so that we can dream the dream together and so that we can work to make it a reality. Now, big dreams for this church, and I suspect you do too. But as we dream those dreams, I want us to start by looking at God's vision for the church so that our dreams are not shaped by my desires or your desires, but they're shaped by God's desires and what his word says about his church. And the image that kept coming to mind, you won't be surprised, as I thought about the future of our church, is this image of the vine, a grapevine. And this image, of course, comes straight from Scripture, Psalm 80 that Carol read for us. God says this, he says, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root, and it filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade. And the mighty cedars with its branches, and its branches reached as far as the sea, and its shoots as far as the river." So this picture here, it's an Old Testament picture of God's people filling the promised land and enjoying God's blessing. It's this picture of happiness and goodness. It's a picture of flourishing. And I think this image of the vine teaches us three lessons about God's vision for the church. And the first is this, about who plants it. So if you have a look right there in verse 8, you see that it is God who plants the church. The psalmist speaks directly to God and he says, "You." He says to God, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt and you drove out the nations and planted and you cleared the ground for it." See, it's God who plants his people where he wants them to be. It's God who plants the church. That doesn't mean that things are always easy. I'm just, in these two verses, we're reminded that God's people had lived in slavery in Egypt for 400 years before God brought them into the promised land. And in the land, there were the nations. In the second line there, the nations, people who were opposed to the establishment of God's kingdom, the kingdom of God's people. But you know what? None of those problems were too hard for God to deal with, were they? Because God is the one who cleared the ground and planted his people where he wanted them to be. And I think that's an important lesson for us to remember in a period of history where church attendance is declining and where the number of Australians identifying as Christians has dropped below 50% for the first time ever. In a time of history where it seems perhaps harder than ever to speak about Jesus and faith in the public square. Well, we need to remember that none of that is an obstacle to God. None of that's an obstacle to God. God has planted churches all over this country. He's planted churches all over the world to be beacons of hope in a dark world. God's planted his people right where he wants us to be. He's planted you and me right where he wants us to be for this season of your life, for however long you've been here, for however long you will be. He's placed us here exactly for his purposes. And I think God's given us a special work to do in this season of world history because there are so many people right now who need to know Jesus. So that's the first big idea today. It is God who plants his church. So everything that we do here at Robbo and Burrowang, it's under God. It's under God's direction. It's under God's planting. It's under God's direction. We want to do everything under God. And we trust that he'll continue to do the work that he's been doing here for 140-something years. 146, 8. My math is not too good. Second big idea that this passage teaches us is that the church is to have deep roots. So we had planted by God, now we've got deep roots. Verse 9 says, "You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land." Just a few months after we moved to California, COVID came along. Did anybody else join in that COVID practice that might be triggering for you of building an ISO garden? Did anybody do that, a veggie patch? No, because you all lived in Roberts and you already had veggie patches. Well, I built this little veggie garden. It was fantastic. I put little plants in there and it grew and I watched it out my office door every day, office window, and the squirrels and the crows would come and eat everything that I planted. It was fantastic. And so I thought, well, I'm in Napa Valley. Why don't I plant some grapevines? And so I planted these grapevines along the back fence of the church backyard where my office was. And, you're in Napa, right? And so, sadly, they didn't do very well. I probably didn't prepare the soil well enough. The vines probably didn't get enough sun. And it was an extremely dry year as well and a very hot summer. And I think my vines grew like 3 leaves and then they shriveled and died. And when I dug them up to do a post-mortem, I could see that the roots never grew. The roots just never grew. Nothing happened after the dry root, how I planted them. But in Psalm 80, we see this vine takes root. Look at verse 9. Puts down deep roots in the place where it's planted, and this vine flourishes, and it fills the land. And I want our church to be a church with deep roots. A church with deep roots. See, Robbo has already been, we already have deep historical roots in the Southern Highlands, going back to, I think, the late 1860s, and Quentin probably can correct me. I think 1869 there was a church or congregation meeting, and then by 1876 St. John's here was built in Robbo, and it means we've got its 150th anniversary coming up in 2 years' time. That's exciting. And then St. David's in Burrowang has been in operation since 1886. So we have deep roots historically. By the way, this is our Christmas service at Burrowang. It was fantastic. We had lots of visitors from the Burrowang community. But it's a church service that I'd love us to pray for. Throughout the year, we only see a few Burrowang locals turning up to that service. And we don't have much contact with them in between. And so it's a real mission field for us. I'd love you to pray about how we can reach Burrowang. I'd love you to pray about how we can reach them, how we can be part of that community, how we can bring the hope of Jesus to a place that we have a building, but it feels largely unreached by us right now. We have an unreached people group about 5 kilometres away. Pray for that and consider how you can help. Because Imagine this. Imagine in 2 years, or imagine in 5 years, or imagine in 10 years. Wouldn't it be great to have a second thriving church in Burrowing? Wouldn't that be amazing if we got back to the days where Robbo was full and Burrowing was full? Once upon a time, we had churches in Kangaloon and Glen Quarry as well, and there were other little churches around in Avoca and things like that. Wouldn't it be great by some miracle of God if we could put down roots in those places again? Wouldn't that be amazing? See a church in Mount Murray. See a church in Fitzroy Falls, a church in Avoca. Wouldn't it be amazing to see the roots of the church spreading all throughout the Highlands? What could God do with our prayers and our dreams if we trust him with them? Now, historically, we have deep roots in the Highland soil, but it doesn't mean we can just coast along. It does take hard work to make a vineyard thrive. You know, when you live there and you watch the guys working, you've seen it here in the different farms. There's cultivating, there's fertilizing, there's tending to the vines, there's trimming them back, there's pruning. It's the same for churches. All of that work is what makes churches flourish under God. It's what helps them grow strong and healthy root systems. And so our vision at Robertson and Burrowing is that everybody will want to put down deep roots here. A church where every person feels like they belong, a church where we feel connected, a church where we feel spiritually nourished, where we grow in faith and we grow in community. And the kind of church where you look forward to going on a Sunday, or not just on a Sunday, but maybe to your midweek group, or you look forward to going and joining a serving team and to being part of that and to reaching out. Kind of church where you want to spend more time, the kind of church that you feel like, this is home. This is home for me. And so one of our main focuses over the last 9 months since I arrived has really been to create a welcoming experience, a welcoming church experience on Sunday mornings that helps us connect with God and to connect with one another. And so I'm really grateful to our welcome team. You've noticed there's changes in the way that we welcome people, the name tags, so we can get to know one another. Hopefully, all of that kind of thing. You notice the music. The morning tea teams who all together kind of form that ecosystem of a welcoming church. It's all been something we've been working on over the last 9 months. And one of the benefits of all this is what it does for families. And just thinking about the future here, I'm so super grateful for our youth minister and kids minister, Beck. She's out at Sunday school today. I'm thankful to her and her team who make kids' church so much fun every week. Whenever I tell people that we have kids' programs at Robertson, they're quite surprised. I think people assume that by looking at the sandstone building on the corner, that church has 5 or 6 people. And that's it, and no families, no children. And so I tell them, well, I think in last week at church we had 27 kids in our kids programs, and there was another 14 here in the church of under 16s, and then a bunch more over that. You know, we got midweek programs as well for 0 to 5-year-olds. We just relaunched Jumping Joey's on a Friday, and that's gained some new traction. There are new families coming to that. We have kids club for K-4s on a Tuesday afternoon. A bunch of kids come along to that. We have Spark on Friday night for year 5 and 6. There's youth group on a Friday night. Youth actually was the big surprise for me when we came to Robbo. I was blown away when I arrived at Robbo last year. I really wasn't expecting much in terms of kids, youth and families. You know, you interview for jobs, you talk to churches and you assume they've kind of exaggerated a tiny bit. And that's not unusual, and don't think I'm exaggerating today just because I said that. You know, I was thinking, well, we'll probably have 5 or 6 teenagers at best. But you know what? This year, most Friday nights, we have over 20 youth here on a Friday night. We did have a big exodus. We had 12 year 12ers last year who finished, and so that has made a bit of a change to our numbers. But it's so amazing, 20-something kids along with their leaders, and you know this, you've helped us to fundraise to send them to conferences like KICK in Katoomba. They're going in a couple of weeks' time. We've sent lots of young people to leaders in training. There are combined youth nights with other teens from across the Highlands. In fact, my very first day here at Robbo was a Friday, I think, and that was the first day, well, the first week anyway. And it was a combined youth event. There was over 100 youth here. And I was like, wow, this is much better than I thought. And then I was even more happy to find out that 37 of them were Robbo kids. So last year was a big year for youth. Isn't that amazing? See, God is at work here in the youth and kids, and we want to thank God for what he's doing, and we want to pray for what God's doing, and we want to invest in what God's doing. We have to invest in this. We can't just take this for granted. We can't coast along and say, used to be like this. We've got to keep working on it. Because imagine what kids and youth at Robbo might look like 1 year from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. I've been praying that God would send us families. I've told some of you this. I've been asking God to send us 10 families, you know, or 20 families, or 50 families. What would it look like if we had just 10 new families at church in a couple of weeks' time? Imagine that. It could easily happen. 3 months from now, we could have 10 new families at church. How many kids would that add to the Sunday school roll every week? 20? 25? So imagine what we'd need to cater for that. We'd love to have separate programs for preschoolers and K-2 and then year 3 to 6, and we'd love to have rooms for those programs, and we'd love to have leaders for those programs. You can help us get ready by doing your safe ministry training and getting your Working with Children's check. You can help us be ready for that. You can help us get ready by helping us to renovate the Sunday school hall. Praise God. I'm going to say at the AGM that we've had a sizable donation that's going to help us start to renovate the Sunday school rooms, so that this winter, hopefully, rain won't be coming in through the roof and leaving the inside walls wet. Wouldn't that be amazing? But even more than that, wouldn't it be great to have these rooms ready? You can help us to get ready for those families by inviting them. Invite those families, and then they'll come, and that would help us be there. Invite your friends and invite them to put down roots here. And if you yourself haven't put down roots here yet, why not? What's stopping you from signing up to a group? Join a small group. Sign up to serve. Come to church every week. Put down deep roots here relationally. Deep roots of faith. Deep roots that will help us to grow God's kingdom. Because our vision is that every person who comes to Robbo will put down deep roots. That everybody has the chance to nurture their faith in community. And so I'm so thankful to our small group leaders and our Bible study leaders. I'm going to put this picture up. Sorry, Hannah and Ross, is a big picture of your faces. I'm so thankful to our small group leaders, our Bible study leaders, who create these opportunities week by week for people to grow in faith and grow in community. And they teach the Bible. They help people apply it to their lives, support one another in prayer. If you're not in a small group, this is one of the foundations of putting down roots at a church, becoming part of a smaller community that looks after you and loves you and helps you grow in faith together. And this is the only picture I had of small groups, by the way. We have some amazing groups in all sorts of demographics and days and nights and mix and whatever. But this is Ross and Hannah's group. It just started a couple weeks ago. So as I said, the end of last year, we had a bunch of year 12ers who finished high school, and we thought we don't want to lose the chance for these guys to join an age-appropriate group. And so praise be to God, Hannah and Ross said they would look after these young adults. Now there's only 4 or 5 of them there. What would it be like if there was 20 of them? What would it look like if God brought us 20 young adults? Because I'm sure there's 20 young adults in Robbo. There's probably 50 of them. So why would we, it's not that I'm not happy with this, why would this be the limit of our vision? Imagine what it would be like. I'm imagining, you know, 20, 50, 100 young adults from across the Highlands. They've all got cars. They can drive to Robbo. Come to be part of this church. We need to pray, and we need to start inviting people because they're out there. You know them from your soccer teams. You know them from your school runs. They're out there. So I hope you can see our focus, creating opportunities for every person who attends Robbo Burralang to put down deep roots in Christian faith. Here's my third big idea. So we had God plants a church, we put down deep roots, so we've got planted, rooted, and the third one is reaching. Have a look at Psalm 80 again, and look at verse 10. See, the mountains were covered with the shade of this vine. And the mighty cedars with its branches reached as far as the sea and its shoots as far as the river. So the picture here is this vine filling the land from the east to the west, from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. And remember, this is a picture of God's chosen people filling the promised land and enjoying the inheritance that God had promised to Abraham. But there's another detail in the poetry. It's a symbol in verse 10. See, this vine is supersized. The branches reach from east to west, and its leaves provide shade even over the top of the mountains. They even cover the mighty cedars. Cedars often symbolize strength in the Old Testament. And so what you can see here is that God's people grow to a position where they are stronger than the world's powers. This image of shade usually symbolizes protection and comfort. And so this image that the psalmist is painting, it's this picture of God's people filling the land and bringing peace, bringing protection, bringing comfort to all who live in the land. And that was one of God's promises to Abraham, wasn't it? That God would bring blessing to the whole world through Abraham and his offspring. God would bring blessing to the whole world, not just to his chosen people, but to the whole world. And so this picture shows us that God intends the church to be an agent of blessing to all of the world. The church isn't just focused on itself. I love you guys, but we're not just focused on ourselves. We reach out with the hope of Jesus. And that's kind of why last Christmas we joined together to collect groceries and gifts for Anglicare's Toys and Tucker. Toys and Tucker has an amazing impact on local families. But wouldn't it be great in 1 year from now, or 2 years from now, 5 years from now, if we had a chance to be a blessing to the local community in a face-to-face way? Not just charity at a distance, but actually a chance to share face-to-face the difference that it makes to have Jesus in your life. So I want to imagine an Anglicare food pantry here on campus, a chance for Jesus' people, for you and me, to meet people's physical needs through the generosity of the church. Wouldn't that be amazing? Imagine resources to help people with mental health issues, with addiction, with grief, with relationship counseling. Wouldn't that be amazing to have that on site and available? Imagine the church providing chaplains to local schools, to the RFS, to the local hospitals. Could you imagine the impact and the blessing it would be? Pray for that with me. Pray that we would be a blessing to the local community. Perhaps God is calling you to be a champion in this ministry space. So we have this vision to be a blessing to our local community in practical ways. But of course, we know the greatest blessing is to be found in Jesus. To find life in Jesus is the greatest blessing we could offer. And so we'll always be looking for ways to reach out with the hope of Jesus. And that's why this Easter we're spending money on leaflets to put in every letterbox in Robertson and Burrowing. We did it at Christmas time too. Maybe that's why we had such good Christmas attendances. It's why we'll run ad campaigns on Facebook and Instagram and social media, because we want to meet local families and we want a chance to share Jesus with them. I make no excuses for that. It's worth spending our money on those things. It's outreach, it's mission. It's why we printed extra invitations for you to take home. They're not just for you to take home every week, they're for you to give to somebody. Take two or three or five and pray. Who can I give these to? Because the heart of this church's mission is that under God, by sharing the gospel, we would build a church of disciple-making disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a church with a missionary heart. We're a church with a missionary mindset. We're a church with a missionary goal, reaching out into the Southern Highlands with the hope of Jesus, this message of life and hope and comfort and forgiveness and blessing for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. I love this image from Psalm 80, the image of a vineyard stretching throughout all of the land. It's an image of what this church could be, a church that influences the landscape, a church that influences the culture, a church that brings blessing, a church that bears fruit for all of eternity. Do you want to be part of that church? As I said at the beginning, I think we're only just at the beginning of this journey. The buds are only just beginning to break, but that means that the growing season is beginning, doesn't it? And one day, God's kingdom will bud and blossom and will fill all of the earth. It'll fill all of the world with fruit. And on that day, we'll know that we've been part of a very special thing here, in this little corner of the Highlands in Robbo and Burrowing and wherever else the Lord might lead us. I want you to be part of that church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about this vision of the vine, we remember Jesus' words who said, "I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, Apart from me, you can do nothing. Heavenly Father, help us to trust in Jesus. Help us to keep focused on him. Help him to be the vine that joins us together. Father, let us not work to our own glory, but so that he might be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we can stand and sing a song that is all about the way the church began. So please sing about the King of Kings.